Daniel chapter 1. Notice verse 1 down through verse number 8. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and of Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's go to our Heavenly Father this morning and get his help. Father, thank you once again for allowing us to be able to assemble. Father, please take full control of this service once again. I pray you'll give me the fullness of your Holy Spirit. Father, speak to our hearts this day through your word. Help us to divorce whatever, Father, might be on our hearts and on our minds so that we can grasp what you have for us today. Please, if there's any loss, I pray you'll save them by your marvelous grace. Have your will in your way. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm going to make a statement. For 35 years, I've been saved. 35 years plus. But I'm telling you something. It is becoming progressively harder to stand. And for those who have been saved, how many people here have been saved more than 35 years? Slip your hand high. All right. So it's been a few of us who've been saved for more than 35 years. Not very many of us. How many of you have been saved for more than 20 years? Put your hands in the air. All right. So a number of you. And then, of course, everybody else, you have been saved less than 20 years. Well, if you've been saved for a period of time, and really it doesn't even have to be 20 years, you've seen a lot of things transpire in your own life. And today it is becoming so much harder to stand. And I'm focusing in on a couple of things because we have to learn when to stand so that when things come up in our lives later on, we'll have the intestinal fortitude to be able to stand. What are you saying, preacher? Do you know the best time for you to learn how to stand is not when you're 30 or when you're 40 or when you're 50 or when you're 60. The best time to learn how to stand is when you're young. Because, see, once you get those things in your life as a part of your life, when you get older, it will be easier for you to stand. Just like if you have sin in your life when you're younger and you don't get the victory over it, then when you get older, you still have to fight and fight and fight and fight against those things. But even get victory when you're younger, by the time you're older, then when those things hit you, they don't affect you in the same way as someone who didn't get victory. And so I am saying some things preliminarily so that I can sell the message. And what I desire for us to do is not to change, but to stand. Matter of fact, my sermon is entitled, "He Didn't Change, He Stood." And see, I know that tomorrow many will start school. Some have already started college, or you will be starting. I don't know exactly as far as time, but I know if it doesn't start tomorrow, some may have already started. But be that as it may, you're going to walk on a college campus this year. You're going to walk on a high school campus this year. I think that maybe some will walk on a middle school campus. The majority of the young people are downstairs. And you're going to be faced with some things that maybe you were not faced with before, because this nation is changing. This world is changing. But thank God, the word of God is settled forever. Amen. And it's not changing. And so if a person will determine, even when they're young, if you will determine, hey, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to change. I'm going to stand and have that which you stand for based upon God's word, then when things come your way, they will not allow you to be assimilated into that society or that group or those individuals, but you will stand as a rising tower against the wickedness of your day and against the changing tides, and say, by God's grace, I'm going to represent Jesus, and I'm going to stand true to him and his word, regardless of who changes around me. And when that happens, I can make you a promise, because I see it all throughout scripture. God will bless your life. While I'm still in my introduction, look at some ways before I give you my points. I only have 2 points this morning. But look at how God blessed Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Notice verse number 9. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Verse 9 comes after verse number 8. In verse number 8, Daniel had purpose in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat or of the wine. And now in verse number 9, the Bible says that God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the princes of the eunuchs. In other words, God gave him favor. And one thing you're going to need in your life as you get older and older is you're going to need God's favor upon your life, where God will put people in your life that can be a blessing and a help to you, where God can open up doors that seem to be closed. And if things continue to go the way they are going, those of us who are believers, we're going to have people on our side that will be a blessing and a help to us, because God has touched their hearts and allowed them to be so. Notice verse number 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You notice when the Bible says, as for these four children, God singled them out of all of the others that were there, and God gave them literally divine wisdom and divine knowledge. See, when you take a stand for the Lord and you do not change, God will give you wisdom and knowledge above those who are being assimilated into a culture. Notice verse number 19. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. In other words, God allowed them to be promoted. One thing that God can do for those who have a desire to stand is that God can promote you. See, when you take a stand, nobody can hold you back. God can promote you. I didn't say nobody couldn't put a comma in your life, but they can't put a period unless God says so. Amen. Notice verse number 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. In other words, God made them so much better than everybody else around them. Notice verse number 21. And Daniel continued even until the first year of King Cyrus. That's just a phrase that's put in there. And sometimes we will read it and not understand what God is saying. God is saying that he gave Daniel longevity. He allowed him to even live until the first year of the reign of Cyrus. That meant that Daniel saw 5 different rulers of Babylon. He saw Nebuchadnezzar. He saw Nabonidus, which you don't have in scripture, but he is in history. You have Belshazzar. You have Darius. And then you have Cyrus. And so God gave Daniel longevity. He allowed him to be able to live longer. Do you know when you take a stand, God can give you longevity in your life? When you take the right kind of stand, God can say, hey, by the way, my Bible says the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the earth. He's trying to find somebody who literally, who has a heart for him, who wants to stand for him. And I'm tied in other scriptures. Who has a heart for him, who wants to stand for him. Somebody that he can show himself mighty on the behalf of. So if somebody is taking a stand in their high school, somebody's taking a stand on their college campus, somebody's taking a stand in junior high, somebody's taking a stand on their job, somebody's taking a stand in their community, don't you think that God would empower that person, bless that person, give them what they need, because everybody else is just blending in? He needs somebody who will say, I will stand and be different. And thank God, listen, there was a culture, there was a group. All of these children were brought down there. These young men, they had a tremendous teaching and tremendous background. But yet, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were a part of that group, said, we're not going to act like them. We're going to stand out, and we're going to be different. And as a result, God blessed them in a tremendous way. And so now there are some things that could have caused him and them to change. Now, I'm going to refer to the personal pronoun for Daniel as his or he. But when I say it, I want you to think of the plural, them, they. Because he also had Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or as we know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And see, when you start standing when you're young, you'll still continue to stand when you're old. I don't need to take you before I give you my 2 points quickly today. I don't need to take you through a tour of Daniel. But you remember that there was a time when Daniel was not around them. And by the way, you can see it in scripture where they had certain rule in the province and Daniel was promoted even higher. But they had to be there when they had that great image that Nebuchadnezzar had erected on the plains of Dura. And when that was erected, they wanted everybody to bow down. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to bow. And the last time I checked, they did not burn. And when they were there in the midst of the fire, guess who showed up? What I believe and what many believe was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. There, in the midst of that fire, the Lord showed up. And I'm telling you, anytime you stand for him, you will find out he'll show up. And see, I've got to sell it so you can get it. Because I'm going to say some things in a little bit, so I've got to sell it. You find that all throughout scripture, you stand for the Lord, even if you have to stand by yourself, and he will stand with you. And let me tell you something, Mr. Man, there's going to come a point in time, if the Lord tarries, is coming, where you might be standing by yourself. I know you might have your family and so forth, but I'm just talking about where you have to go on your job and stand. And right now, by the way, we are there, but things can get even worse. And you can check out what happened to Paul. Paul had to stand. But Paul said, at my first defense, he said, nobody stood with me. He said, all men forsook me. He said, I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. But he said, notwithstanding, he said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. See, anytime you stand, the Lord is going to stand with you. And see, during this time, many were changing, but thank God, Daniel, didn't change. Now, there were a couple of things that could have made him change. Number one, his peers were changing. His peers were changing. Notice verse number 6 of Daniel chapter 1. His peers were changing. Notice Daniel chapter 1, verse number 6. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Among these, the Bible says, in other words, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were among the other children of Judah. Watch verse number 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. The word sort there literally means your age. He said these other children, these would have been teenagers. He said, man, these others that are of your age. He said, now, you're about to put me into a serious predicament. Get the point. Daniel's peers, those who were of his age, were there. And they were changing. Notice verse 13. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee. Now this is Daniel speaking to Melzar. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Daniel and his companions were literally comparing themselves to the other children who were eating and drinking the king's food, the king's meat, and the king's wine. Look at verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. In other words, they were better than those who ate the king's food. So now, think about what I have been building here. These children were literally brought from Judah. Now these children have been placed there in that particular area. Now these children would be offered this meat, this food. They would also be offered this wine that belonged to the king. And now Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they had made a determination that they were not going to defile themselves. They saw the others changing, but they said, we are not going to change. At the time when we get to the book of Daniel chapter 1, you already have the book of Proverbs, which has been written. And Proverbs makes the statement. It says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What's the opposite of being wise? You've got it. Foolish. Proverbs said you don't even look upon it when it is red, when it moveth itself aright. What does that mean? It literally means when it is fermented. Daniel knew about this. Daniel would have also known, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah would have also known about the book of Leviticus and the Levitical diet and what was forbidden for the Jews to eat. But yet, they could look around and see their peers eating and drinking, and they said, we are not going to change. We're going to stand. See, listen to me. You may walk on a school ground this year, and you can see people that you know who claim to be saved. But now that they have walked on a school ground this year, now they start acting like the world and operating like the world and acting like the others that are there on that school ground. And you have to get to the place where you say, I'm not going to act like the others. When they begin to turn the rap music up and others start gyrating on the school ground who's supposed to name the name of Christ, Mr. Ma'am, don't you start moving and gyrating. You stand and represent the Lord and don't desecrate his name. We need an army who's going to rise up, because we've got to pass the baton to somebody in the future. Anybody can blend in, but it takes a strong young man and a strong young woman to say, I'm going to stand up and be different. I will not defile myself. Where are those young men? And I believe we've got some here. Where are those young men? Where are those young women who will feel the burning on the inside, who will say, regardless of the way the world dresses, I'm not gonna dress like the way the world dresses. I know you don't hear a lot of preaching about that these days, but things have not changed. My Bible says that a woman is supposed to array herself in modest apparel. That means, lady, yes, it's school time. Yes, you may go off to college, and you'll see others jacking it up high. Be like one of them. Carry yourself in a chaste manner and make sure that if you're wearing a dress, it catches you right in the middle of your knees or lower. Don't be like everybody else. You determine, hey, I'm going to be different. You say, well, they'll consider me to be a square. They'll consider me not to be on par with them. They will laugh at me if I dress in a conservative manner. Well, let them laugh. God will be smiling. Because you can say, I'm a Christian, and you can affect somebody else's life. But when you say, I'm a Christian, and they see your stuff jacked up 2 feet above your knees, they're not listening to the Christ that you're talking about. I know we live in a day when social media is trying to get you to change. They are. They're telling you that if you carry yourself a certain way, then you'll be able to get the men. But see, the kind of men that they're talking about is not the kind of man you want to settle down with. The kind of man that you want is a man who will look you in your eyes and not look you up and down like you're some kind of meat hanging on a hook somewhere. He will look at you with respect and dignity, and not look at you like as if he does not value who you are, but only what he can get from you. We need to have some young women who will have some backbone and say, I will stand. I will not change. They may say, what's wrong with you? Why don't you wear your stuff tight like saran wrap like everybody else? No. You say, listen, I've got biblical principle for what I'm doing. My Bible says I'm to array myself in modest apparel, and there isn't anything modest concerning walking around looking like somebody painted something on me. You've got things coming at you. Your morals will be challenged. Your morals will be challenged. They've got all kind of stuff out there now, and they're going to challenge your morals. If you have considered yourself to be a clean person, a pure person, a decent person, a moral person, you will have people out there who will literally try to strip you of that which you have possessed for yourself, and you are supposed to possess your vessel in honor, the Bible says. If you don't know what I'm talking about, let me make it plain for you. And by the way, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm trying to help everybody. What I am saying, young ladies, is keep yourself pure. Don't defile yourself. Say, what do you mean, preacher? You know what I mean. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself clean. And if you've messed up in the past, then you can't do anything about that, but you can certainly do something about the future. And say, by the grace of God, I'm going to keep myself right, and I'm going to keep myself clean, and I'm going to keep myself pure, moral. Anybody can lay down. Anybody can lay down. It takes a strong woman to stand up and say, I will not allow you to mess over me. Because what will happen is once somebody messes over you, they'll go and mess over somebody else, and mess over somebody else, and mess over somebody else. I think it's time that the pulpits of this nation stop being silent on a lot of things and start preaching the stuff that we used to preach years ago that brought about purity and morality to this nation. And stop trying to be politically correct. But mister, and by the way, preachers have got to preach along these lines because you have TV commercials, you have bulletin boards, you have billboards, you have, as I said, the internet and so many things that's just coming after the young today and saying it's okay for you to do the things that you desire to do. No, whatever you do in the physical realm, you let it be in the bonds of matrimony. Because my Bible says that whoremongers and adulterers God will judge, but it says marriage is honorable amongst all. Who's going to change? Or who will be a changer and change some things? We need some people who are going to stand. Young man, you need to stand. You need to stand. I don't care. You could have the guys out there on the college campus. You could have the guys out there in high school. And they want to run after these girls and run after them and then go, come back and talk about them and degrade them. But you stand and you fight and you do not be a part of that crowd. Because if you run with dogs, you're going to get some fleas. And you'll get a name. And then when it comes time for somebody, maybe some young girl has had her eye on you, that's kept herself and has a pure mindset. But if she see you hanging with dogs, she's going to think you're a dog. Yeah. We need to have some young men who will stand and say, I'm going to be different. My peers may change, but I will not change. I'm going to be different. Will you stay true to God? We need some today. See, their peers were changing, but thank God they didn't change. So number one, I said his peers were changing. But wait a minute. Here's the second and the last one. Number two, his teachings were changing. Notice chapter 1, verse 4. And by the way, men, I haven't said this in a long time, but I need to say it. Don't go out there on a high school or college campus and start walking around with your pants sagging. We live in a day when there are a lot of things that ought to be outlawed. Amen. I mean, it ought to be. I've seen things this week that's shocking. Shocking. And by the way, it hadn't only been this week, but I've seen them this week. Saw a man walking around, and whatnot. It's getting worse and worse. I saw a man with his belt buckle down here. with his belt buckle, all his underwear showing. Well, this I can't even say from the pulpit what I saw. But it's sad. It's sad. Because now it's getting worse. I can't even say the next one I saw. I won't even say it because I don't want to put that imagery in your mind. You might have to run to the bathroom and throw up. His teaching was changing. Chapter 1, verse 4, watch this. Children whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. In other words, Daniel would have been taught things contrary to the book, but he didn't change. He didn't change. Listen, the Babylonians tried to impart their wisdom onto Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Tried to impart their wisdom, but they would not allow what the Babylonians were teaching them to affect them. Listen, you're going to have people, professors, teachers, and others who will try to tell you things that are contrary to this book. But what you have to do is stick with the book. One man said he went off to college. He said when he got into college, he said that literally, he said that the stuff that he was taught in school made him believe that the Bible was not even the word of God anymore. And he had to get some help before and really get into the book before he came to the conclusion that the Bible is the word of God. Listen, you're going to have some people who are going to try to teach you some things in high school now. And I'm going to share some in just a little bit. But even things now that's in elementary school and middle school that are contrary to the book. But what you have to do is stick with the book. Don't change. When you get onto a college campus, you're going to be taught some things that will literally challenge your faithfulness to the house of God. You don't have to go to church. Church is where you are. God is in everything. You're going to be faced with others who will try to get you away from the house of God and challenge your faithfulness to the things of God. There's been more than one child who's either gone to college or either have gotten or have moved up the grades as far as high school, that as they get further and further, they cool off and cool off. Yet conversely, you have others who have gone to college and others who have moved up through the 10th grade and 11th grade and the 12th grade and still kept the fire of God burning in their souls because they determined they were not going to allow the teaching to affect them. You may have to take a class sometime, but the class does not have to change you. Those who have studied history have studied some of the things that the Chaldeans would have taught them. Things that they would have learned in Babylon. They would have been taught language. They would have been taught literature. They would have been taught astronomy. They would have been taught astrology. That is because they believe that the aligning of the planets evoked certain influences over the fates of people and were taught that. But you don't see Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah believing that. They knew that the God of heaven was the one who was in control. They would be taught magic. They would be taught soothsaying. They would be taught divination or whatever would contribute to what a phrase they would use. They called it laying open the future. But Daniel held on to his belief in Jehovah God and God's ability. Look at verse 17 and verse number 20. It says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Notice verse number 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. I want you to imagine that the classes that they had to take, and yet with those classes that they had to take, those things that they were taught, they had something on the inside that would not allow them to change. They were taught things that were contrary to the word, but praise God, they did not change. You may have to take a class. And in that class, you may hear something that you know is against the word. What do you do? A few things you can do. If you take your stand, sometimes you're going to have to stand up in class and formulate your opinion. The only way you will affect change is by saying something. What would you do if somebody got up and said, "The Bible is not the word of God. The Bible is nothing but just a book of myths and fables, and you have been taught differently"? What you gonna do? See, here's what I'm talking about. Because it's gonna come a day when all of us will have to stand. If we can't stand in a classroom, if we can't stand on our jobs, then when the real stuff starts to come down, we're not going to have the strength or a backbone to be able to stand on. See, here's the problem. We are being too quiet in America. And I'm not just talking about 1611. I'm talking about just around the world. I know some of you in here are standing. I'm not doubting that. But I'm telling you, we need some people who will no longer be quiet, but who will open their mouths at the right time. Because here's the problem. We want everybody to like us, but we ought to want God to approve of us. And if you have an opportunity, you take your stand. There have been people who have taken a stand in class, and God still bless them. You say, "Preacher, I don't think I can do something like that." Well, if you don't have the courage to stand, at least have the courage not to change. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't have the courage to stand, at least have enough courage not to change. Listen, you're going to hear. Maybe you're going to take a comparative religions class, and they're going to say Christianity is just one of many religions, no different. Jesus is just an historical figure. You're going to hear that. You're going to have to deal with that. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to have to deal with that. You say, "But preacher, you just don't understand. It's easy for you to say that, but it's hard to really stand." I know. But I've stood in places where I know it wasn't easy. And I've stood in places where I know once I get through, I'm through. I'm not getting invited back. I'm going to say this because I've said it before and it doesn't affect me. But my own alma mater got rid of me. They did. My own alma mater got rid of me. Why? Because I just made a statement. I was preaching on why God used Philip, same sermon I preached here years ago. I hadn't preached in a long time. Maybe I ought to preach it again. It's been years. Back in the 1990s. But I preached 1999 on why God used Philip. Because I was seeing things that weren't right. And I had 6 points. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, spirit control. You understand what I'm saying? He had a testimony, honest report. And I could go on. But one thing I said he wasn't prejudiced. Amen? Amen. I said he wasn't prejudiced. And what happened? By the way, I said he could be with the Hebrew, Greek-speaking widows. minister to them. I said he could go to the half Jew, half Gentile Samaritans and witness to them. I said, and here's what I said. I said, he went out into the desert. And I said, and there was a black man sitting in a chariot. And I said, he didn't look around to see if the fundamental bigwigs would give him permission to get up in the chariot. I shared it with a group of preachers a couple of weeks back. Amen. That is associated with my alma mater. They were laughing. One of them said, I'm going to use that. Amen. But here's what happened. I preached it. I had a man come up to me and he said, I'm going to tell the president that his boy did real good. That's what he told me. But I stood. That was in 1999. I used to always be called back to preach at my alma mater. You want to know the last time I got called back to preach at my alma mater? 1999. You understand what I'm saying? 1999. But I stood. I stood. And by the way, haven't lacked for a place to preach. I could be gone right. I've got three offices. I could be gone right now, but I'm not. But what I'm saying, it had lack for a place to preach. I'm telling you, you stand, and if you stand, God will bless you. And as I get ready to close, because you may take an evolution. You may take an arts or either a science class where you taught evolution, that creation is not good. You might take a psychology class where you are taught things that are contrary to the Bible. You may just be in class and you hear the gay agenda being propagated. And by the way, it is out there and it is real. And they are coming after our young people. And do you want to know where they are attacking? They are attacking in our schools. Because they know if you can get the next generation, you can get those millennials that are coming up, you can get that next generation, then they know that they've got it. Because see, back in the 1960s, now I could take a whole sermon and preach on this, but I won't, and I'm going to close in just a moment. But back in the 1960s, you had the rebellion which was taking place on our college campuses. Those who were rising up, down with the establishment. But they realized, hey, man, we're not changing a thing, nothing. So what did they do? They became the establishment. We've got to get into political office. We're talking about the government and what the government is not doing, but we've got to get into the government and change some things. And once they realized that, now that group that came out of there, they're running a lot of stuff. And the gay agenda is out and it is moving. And don't think that it's just something simple and it's not going to affect this nation. It's going to affect all of us. Our church has 501c3 status. I don't know how long we will keep it. Let me read something to you that is prophetic. Oh, not in a good way, but it's come to pass. Back in 1987, something transpired. I want to read this to you. Because there's been a gay agenda for a long time, and they have been perfecting some things. And there was a man named Mark Swift. He's a great gay revolutionary. And I wouldn't tell you to get this, but the February 15th, 1987 issue of Gay Community News. Here's an excerpt. From the 1987 February 15th issue of Gay Community News, here's what it says. This is what they had planned on doing. Remember, this is 28 and a half years ago. We shall sodomize your sons. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your youth groups. Young sons shall become our minions and do our bidding. They will come to crave and adore us. Listen now, this is 1987. All laws banning homosexual activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men. Our writers and artists will make love between men fashionable. we shall raise vast private armies to defeat you. The family unit will be abolished. One man, one woman, children from that group. The family unit will be abolished. Listen to this. All churches who condemn us will be closed. Our only gods, small g, are handsome young men, all males who insist on remaining stupidly heterosexual, will be tried in homosexual courts of justice. Keep that in mind. Homosexual courts of justice. In other words, where you will have people in the judicial system who will be homosexuals, and people will have to appear before them for judgment. And guess what kind of judgment they will receive? Keep that in mind, because I'm going to share something with you in just a second. This was back in 1987. And will become, now I got to read the whole sentence again, and males who insist on remaining stupidly heterosexual will be tried in homosexual courts of justice and will become invisible men. In other words, we will silence those who will speak out against us. We will make you invisible. Those who see these sports figures coming up, if you don't get the memo, you can't say anything negative about them. And if you do, it's like you are committing suicide. They will come after you. They will punish you if you say something. Now, Christianity, go at it all day. Say whatever you want to say. Mock it, make fun. But you better not say anything, you homophobic person, about somebody who is different than you. You better not say anything about the homosexual gay community, lesbian, transgender, you put it in there. Here's what it says. Tremble, hetero swine, when we appear before you without our mask. By the way, mask off. It's off. My wife and I were sitting in the parking lot of Big Lots. Two men walking hand by hand, showing off. Oh, they're playing to the people around, carrying on out in public, walking over to their car. I'm not even going to tell you what was going on. I'm just telling you, it's open now. It's okay now. Remember, have you ever thought, why is it that it seemed like all of a sudden, out of the blue, that legislation has been passed allowing these things that we just talked about, same-sex marriage. Why? How all of a sudden it seemed like as if everything was good a few years back, and now all of a sudden, how can something like this get passed? Because see, the things that people don't understand is that when you're voting for somebody, you're not just voting for that person. You're voting for all the people that they will put into judicial offices. And many people have been put into lifetime positions. Do you know, in the past 6 years, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. In the past 6 years under this administration, you know, there have been 10 people, I'm talking about openly homosexual, that have been appointed to judicial offices. The gay agenda, it is in full swing. And that means that laws can be passed. It doesn't have to take but just a few more. And all they have to do is pass legislation. And if they pass certain legislation, they will silence the preachers of this country. Or the preachers of this country and Christians of this country could end up in prison. You say, that'll never happen. Things are going on right now. And the agenda is out there and it's in full swing. We have got to start flexing our muscles now. We have got to start standing now. because if we do not stand and show ourselves differently, and the reason why things have been going on is because the Christians have just been becoming more like the world, more like the world, more like the world. We want to be politically correct. We don't want to offend anybody. We want to look like the world, dress like the world, act like the world, talk like the world. We want everybody to accept us instead of being peculiar people, zealous of good works, and we have kept our mouths closed. And we've allowed this to take place. I wonder today, who's going to stand or who is going to change? I hope by the grace of God, you'll say, I'm going to stand. Because it may come a day when I'm preaching and someone can come in and take me in handcuffs and take me to jail for preaching what I have preached today. But by the grace of God, they take me to jail, I'll start a prison ministry. Let's bow for prayer.